Hey everyone, welcome in to another Daily Editorial. Here in the KE Report, in this Daily Editorial, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, we're going to diverge a little bit away from the U.S. However, this will all tie into the currency markets, but some data out of Canada today. The Canadian jobs number, it surprised everybody, I think, to the upside. You and I have been chatting about this off mic, and honestly, I live in Canada, and I just cannot believe some of these better economic numbers that Canada has been producing, as we have been kind of consistently going in the wrong direction in terms of new lockdowns. Now, maybe all this data is, well, it is backward looking, so some of the weaker numbers are going to be delayed, and I've made the argument, too, that there are some Canadians out there that might not have lost their jobs, but they are getting paid significantly less than they were before the pandemic. But Mark, can you make some sense of this? How is Canada coming out with decent economic numbers when I look around the country, all I'm seeing is the housing market booming and construction, but that's it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that, you know, not only Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the U.S., China, have all expressed concerns or noticing, at the very least, the rise in housing prices and real estate speculation. So these Canadian numbers today were just mind-blowing. You know, the Bloomberg consensus was for 100,000 increase. Canada reported 300,000 increase. And with 300,000 increase, here I am in the U.S., which is 10 times bigger. And so that would turn out to be like a 3 million jump in a U.S. non-farm payroll. We got close to a million. And a lot of people got like kind of heady about it. We'll probably get another very strong number in April. But I think that it speaks to a couple things. One is that maybe there's something to what you're saying about the for whatever statistical reason in the methodology, the numbers are a bit flattered, that it's strong and that's going to be able to be sustained. On the other hand, it's not just this month's number. You know, the U.S. is still at about 8 million jobs shy of where it was at the end of 2019. Canada, and looking at just full-time jobs, Canada is about 175,000 short. So it does seem to me a couple of things have happened. One is that the resilience of the Canadian economy, and we saw this in the January GDP number, up 0.7. The market was looking for something less than that. And so I think that what we're seeing really is both in Canada and in the U.S., that economists recognize that there's a recovery coming, but they don't appreciate how strong it is. And so I hear you. I mean, Ontario announced further extending their social restrictions, the lockdown. It's problematic, but it seems that this is it's a bigger thing. I would say that probably only sectors now that haven't caught up are like the hospitality and leisure sector. But the other sectors seem to have caught up. And this is as Canada, you know, it's sort of tragic. I'm seeing these numbers that suggest Canada is on a trajectory where on a per capita basis, the fatalities, the excess fatalities related to COVID are going to likely surpass the U.S., which has done a miserable job itself until the vaccine rollout came. So I don't know what to tell you about it. I do think that the markets, though, like yourself, are a bit skeptical of it. You'd expect the Canadian dollar to have rallied because what the jobs data would suggest is that the Bank of Canada, which meets on April 21st, could change its forward guidance to give greater sense that maybe the $4 billion Canadian dollars worth of bonds they're buying every week, they could taper on that. My guess would be that they give us some guidance. They might not taper, though, until maybe give it another quarter. So sometime maybe call it Q3 to really begin the tapering. So, you know, they recently cut all the emergency liquidity provisions. So Canada is really seen as like one of the top few countries that will be able to withdraw some support before the end of this year. I'd say besides Canada, Norway ranks very high up there as well.
Yeah, honestly, Mark, it's shocking to hear and to see the data and also, yeah, the move I've heard of the Canadian Central Bank potentially taking that tack. We also had mortgage lending restrictions actually tightened here recently. This, again, just all flies in the face of what I'm seeing on the street, and that's us moving in the wrong direction because of that slow vaccine rollout. But, hey, markets, I guess, can just keep on moving to whichever direction they want without the underlying support of people working, or the largest province per capita actually being able to go to work. It's just shocking to me. But, hey, man, I guess it just comes down to all that money they injected into the system. But even to your point, Canada, it looks like very soon is going to overtake the U.S. in daily infection cases or daily COVID cases. So I don't know. Seems like we're moving in the wrong direction. But again, some of the world is still viewing Canada as bullish. Talk about currencies, though, tied into the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar had quite a bad week this week. It was rising all through 2021. And as we entered April, the dollar rolled over, sitting right around 92. What's your assessment of this dollar and that three-month rebound we had?
Yeah, no, the U.S. dollar has been beaten up a little bit this week. It's really, I still think, a interest rate story. Besides the dollar moving lower this week, the other, for me, the driver, the other part of the story, is that the U.S. 10-year yield fell by about 15 basis points. And so the lower U.S. yield took away one of the legs for the dollar. My sense is that next week is the key week. This is where I think the rubber hits the road. And the reason is that we have two big forces that are going to take place. One is that for the last couple of weeks, the U.S. Treasury hasn't been selling any coupons, any notes and bonds. Next week, starting Monday, they'll come to the market with about $110 billion. That would be perhaps easy to absorb if interest rates had built a concession, but they haven't. As I mentioned, interest rates have fallen in the U.S. So we have a combination of $110 billion worth of new supply and coupons hitting a market that has very low yields. And the other kicker to it, the other half of the story, is that we're going to get a series of very strong economic data from the U.S. I'd say it's mostly baked in the cake. For example, we'll begin off the week on Tuesday with a jump in CPI. And that jump in CPI, our inflation measure, is partly because inflation is rising as we hit bottlenecks as the economy reopens, but also higher inflation on a year-over-year basis because of last year we had deflation, actual declines in inflation. So Tuesday we get a big jump in CPI that'll lift us close to, say, 2.5% from around 1.7, just to appreciate the magnitude of the move. That will be followed towards the end of the week by a series of reports that are just going to show the economy surging: retail sales, industrial production, and housing starts. In February, we had some poor weather, unusually poor weather, and that depressed some of these numbers. But we're going to, and we also get the stimulus checks beginning to funnel through. So bottom line here, we should expect strong jump in CPI, strong economic reports, and if the dollar can't rally and the bond yields can't rise on it, I think that that'll strengthen the hands of some of my friends who try to convince me that the divergent story, that the U.S. economic recovery story, is played out. They tell me that that's what the rally of the dollar has been this year. The market pricing in, so we had a big rally Q1, and why do we have that rally? Because people were pricing in, my friends tell me, this divergent story. You know, last week when we spoke, we had that around the U.S. jobs data. We had a very strong jobs data. I know a lot of people were on holiday, but the dollar really didn't rally on that. And that was the first, that was a canary in the coal mine. That was the warning to these people who are skeptical of the outlook for the dollar, thinking that's priced in. Can't rally on good news. It's telling us something about how the market's positioned and market sentiment.
Okay, so what I'm hearing then is the good news is already priced in. So good news isn't going to further drive the markets. But if we get a surprise down, let's say data point, then do you think that could really impact the markets? This all taking into context that I don't know how much data has driven markets recently.
Right. So, yeah, so if we were to play out that hypothesis, and I think that you could test it. You know, yesterday we had in the U.S. the weekly initial jobless claims. These are people filing unemployment benefits for the first time. For the second week in a row, they unexpectedly increased. And when they unexpectedly rose, we did see the dollar sell off and we saw yield soften. So I think to your point, I think it's true that the downside disappointment would likely get a bigger market reaction than an upside. But I think that whether the divergent story, whether the U.S. growth is fully discounted, I think that's why I think next week will be that we could really test that hypothesis. I'm not convinced it is. I sort of wonder if the dollar doesn't have another leg up, partly because Europe, I mean, you talk about how Canada, new lockdowns and where these jobs coming from, Europe is shooting itself in the foot too. Slow rollout of the vaccine. There's all kinds of geopolitical problems. Russia is building up troops on the eastern border of Ukraine, or an East Ukraine border. U.S. is talking about sending a military ship into the Black Sea, but it'll take a couple of weeks to work that out. At the same time, violence on the Irish border, so Northern Ireland and Ireland, is at its worst level, highest level in several years. And you had several countries, UK, the EU, and the US, sort of talking up the Good Friday Agreement and hoping that people calm down. Several police have been injured in this. And so I sort of see geopolitical issues rising in Europe. I see they have been very slow to roll out their fiscal stimulus. You know, the German High Court put a stay on it. They said that they need to review the case. And so I just wonder, as Europe puts on their new lockdowns as well, talking France, Italy, probably Germany, that I wonder if this convergence doesn't get postponed until we're deeper into Q2.
So does this all mean that more money, international money, should be flowing into the U.S., whether it's U.S. markets, whether it's bonds, whether it's anything? The money could continue to go into the U.S., even though you can make the argument that a lot of traders have already priced in better data out of the U.S.?
Well, I think that there's something to that. I mean, I think that there might be something to have. If you think the dollar is going to get stronger, you've got positive yields in the U.S., even though many European and Japanese yields are still negative. But I think there's something else going on, and that is, it's sort of like this on-again, off-again kind of thing where people, you know, the U.S. stock market has been outperforming Europe for several years. But this year, money does seem to be going into Europe, and partly their indexes tend to have less weighting for technology than, say, the U.S. indexes, and they're more weighted towards financials, which have done well in the rising interest rate environment, and energy. So when I'm looking at the Dow Jones Stock 600, which I kind of thought is like comparable to the U.S. S&P 500. Since the end of last year, it's only fallen 3 weeks. And right now, as this week ends, we're on a six-week streak. So I do think that while there might be money coming to the U.S. attracted to the yields, you got the dollar at your back, I think that the market is still pressing Europe, this Dow Jones Stock 600, new record highs this week. And I suspect that this is like, there's some ways that even retail can enter this game. What I looked at several years ago was this ETF, symbol is HEDJ. I just remembered it as hedge. And what it is WisdomTree has this ETF. We buy a basket of European exporters who would, of course, benefit from a weaker euro, and you sell the euro against it. So an ETF that's currency hedged invests in European exporters. I kind of like that idea. It fits into this macro view, Europe lagging behind the U.S. We don't necessarily like the euro in the short run, but European stocks look like maybe it's like don't want to miss this one out.
So, Mark, where is this money going to rotate? You touched on it a bit there, but when it comes to different sectors, when it comes to different areas, where do you see the next rotation trade going?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of stuck. That's why I'm like my own personal account. I'm about 75% cash. I thought that, of course, a lot of us in the who trade our own personal accounts, second half of last year seemed kind of easy, almost like shooting fish in a barrel. Global stocks rallied. It was hard to find something that didn't rally outside of some things in my portfolio, like some banks didn't rally. But I think this year has become much more difficult. We've seen the tech sector really underperform in the U.S., and that was really the leader, whether directly or indirectly. So I'm not sure. I do see, of course, the banks do well in a rising interest rate environment and a steeper yield curve. But And I also think, of course, that there's this recovery, the idea of, for example, in the U.S., the TSA, that's the people who check us at the airports. They're reporting the highest amount of air traffic since the pandemic first struck. And so I think that's what I'm going to begin doing, is thinking more thoroughly through what are the sort of what's going to happen if we sort of project 3 months in the future. Most of the U.S. will be vaccinated. Europe will be well on their way. The U.K. will be vaccinated. Now, what are people going to do? And one kind of interesting thing that happened, you see it in the U.S., is a lot of people bought pets during this COVID. And now that they're thinking about maybe having to go back to work, I see that these apps of like pet walkers, like dog walkers and these kind of things are taking off. So I just, for me, if this was a prod to begin thinking more deeply about what's our lives going to be like on the other side? Are we going to need as many suits and ties? Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But I like that angle though. Hey, pet apps, that's something new. I hadn't heard that before. So I appreciate you bringing that up on this Friday, Mark. I hope everybody else also gets a little smile out of that. But hey, not out of the question. I have a few friends that actually got pets during this pandemic. All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. Very interesting comments as always. And hey, Mark, great chatting with you. Have a great weekend. We'll chat again next week.
Good luck to everybody.